Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus will it be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And Jesus replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the old and the new." Thus were the words of today's Holy Gospel. Today on this feast of St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland, we have in the readings the secret of her sanctity, the secret of the sanctity of every saint, and if we're ever going to make heaven, the secret of our life. Jesus describes in the Gospel today how St. Margaret sees heaven and how anyone will enter the kingdom. First parable. Something happens by accident, but in God's providence, not an accident at all. A farmer is out working in a field, and as he's uprooting the soil for planting, he finds hidden in that field a great treasure. There were no banks in the ancient world, and so you generally find a place to bury your money. And as he was working that field, he found a place with money buried there. He wasn't even searching for it, but in a sense, it found him. He knew what a treasure it was. And so what did this person do? Jesus tells us, he went with joy, sold everything he had. Now picture that. Sold his house. Sold his donkey. Sold his wife. No, just kidding. Sold everything that he had, all his possessions, with joy, and bought this field. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus is telling us. Then he ups the ante. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. I want you to picture that merchant. He's going from shop to shop. He's going from country to country. He's going from port to port in search of a treasure. In search of something extraordinarily beautiful. In search of something that really drives his entire existence. And then there it is. He finds it. And what does Jesus say? He doesn't go up to the merchant selling that pearl and say, "Let's make a deal." He doesn't try to barter. Jesus says, immediately he goes with joy and sells all that he has. Imagine how many pearls were in this man's collection. Imagine the places where he picked them up all over the ancient Middle East. He had an extraordinary collection of things that were very near and dear to him. But when he found that precious pearl, he sold with joy everything else he had to obtain that great treasure, which he said was worth more than everything else he had combined. And then the third parable. Jesus says that there are basically two types of people in the world. And he's going to throw out a net and bring us all in. But some are going to be kept and some are going to be tossed. And that isn't going to happen arbitrarily. It's not going to happen by how big we are, what our appearances are. It's going to happen fundamentally by whether we are wise enough to have bought that treasure that we happened upon or went hunting down that extraordinary pearl of great price that God implanted a desire in our hearts to see. There's a pre-selection there in terms of how we, responding to God's grace, choose God or don't. One of the most important lessons Jesus teaches us in the gospel is to value him appropriately, to give Jesus the price he deserved. The rich young man wasn't willing to do it. When this good young guy who had kept the commandments perfectly from his youth and whom the Lord had looked upon with love came up to Jesus and asked what he needed to do to get to the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, keep the commandments. And the man said, I have kept them perfectly from the time I was a little boy. But he recognized he was still lacking something. Precisely what he lacked was he had too much. And so Jesus said, if you wish to be perfect, if you wish to have it all, go, sell everything you have. Buy this pearl of great price. Buy a treasure that will be great in heaven. And then come follow me. And when presented with that deal, the rich young man went away sad. Because when it came to Jesus over here, and all his possessions over here, he still was clinging on to his possessions. He couldn't let him go, even for the most precious pearl of all. The apostles were different. When Peter caught his biggest draft of all time, such that his nets were at the breaking point, and he had to call the sons of Zebedee to help haul them all in. And Jesus said to him, from now on, you will be fishing for men. Peter left everything. He left his boats, he left his nets, he left that biggest haul of fish in his lifetime in order to follow the Lord Jesus, because he, led by God, had intuited that that was the wisest decision he could ever make. What is it for us? Every one of us is here tonight on a Friday night, rather than at a bar, rather than on a subway or a train going home. We're all here because we value Jesus. And he's so happy that we're here tonight. But the big question is, how much do we value? Do we value him more than everything else in our life combined? Or do we just value him a lot? Jesus would say, when he was teaching, that unless you hate your mother and father, and the word in Hebrew for hate means knock them down a peg so that I can be ascendant. It doesn't mean detest. But anyone who wishes to be my follower and doesn't hate his mom and dad, his son and daughter, his wife, his husband, is not worthy of me. Then he says, anyone who's not willing to pick up his cross and follow me, not just to add a little bit of extra suffering in life, but to embrace what will kill us in this world so that we can live forever. Anyone who's not willing to do that is not worthy of me. Anyone who doesn't hate his own life and put his very life secondary to me is not worthy of me. Now, these aren't easy words. And if all we're thinking about is, wow, how much am I losing? I've got so much to give on up. If all we're thinking about is what we have to sacrifice, we're going to hesitate like crazy. But if we look ahead, if we look like the farmer in the field, if we look like this merchant searching for a pearl of great price, and we recognize what we're getting, then the choice becomes much easier. But so often the devil wants to tempt us to think about what we're giving up rather than what we're gaining. One of the most important things we could be doing spiritually is never forgetting the prize. Never allowing that great hope of the treasure we're seeking to wane. We've got to stoke that every day. And one of the most important ways we do is by approaching Jesus in the Holy Eucharist the right way. About everything I'll preach to you, I'm a hypocrite. With one exception, by God's grace. When I was an 18-year-old freshman in college, and the light bulb finally went off for me, that this really is Jesus. I had never disbelieved that truth, but the practical consequences of it never really sunk down deeply. But as a freshman in college, I grasped that this really was God who came down from heaven to earth each day for me and for the world. This was the answer to our prayer, "Give us today our supersubstantial bread, come down from heaven." This was God's response when the Jews in Capernaum said, "Sir, give us this bread that you're talking about that we have to eat, that the bread of eternal life, give us this bread always." This is God's answer. And from that day, September 24th, 1988, until today, I have never once missed Mass. Because this is the greatest treasure in the world. And if we were to collect all the money here in Manhattan and put it on this side, just have a tiny little particle of the host on this altar. If we chose all of Manhattan over that tiny particle, we would be one of the greatest fools of all time. Real wisdom is to recognize Jesus' extraordinary value and then relativize everything else in life to obtain it. Now, how do we do that? For some of us, we recognize that when Jesus calls us to give up the good of marriage and family in order to serve Him chastely, that's a small price to pay compared to what we gain in the conformity with Jesus' own chaste love for His bride. But Jesus doesn't do that for everybody. Jesus asks most people in the middle of ordinary life to make Him their supreme value. Today we celebrate St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland, who as a married woman always sought to put God first, sought to love her husband the way she loved Christ, sought to love the poor and sacrifice so much for them, precisely because she recognized that every time she was good to them, when they were hungry or thirsty or in otherwise need, she was caring for the Lord in disguise. Her whole life is a commentary on today's gospel, in which she, in the people that she met, recognized the treasure and the pearl of great price and seized that opportunity. Tonight as we come, she's praying for us so that we might recognize that we're not just doing a good thing tonight, because Jesus must be more than just a really, 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 really important part of our life. But that we're making the best decision we could ever make. St. John Vianney, the patron saint of priests, once said about Jesus in the gift of the Holy Eucharist, that if we had been given the chance King Solomon got as an 18-year-old, when God turned to him and said, ask for anything you want, as high as the heavens above, as deep as the netherworld. We know how Solomon responded. Solomon asked for God's wisdom so that he could judge his people aright and lead his people to God. But if we had been given that same opportunity by God to ask for anything at all, St. John Vianney said, we would have never dreamed to ask, hey God, why don't you send yourself into the world somehow? Why don't you take on our human nature so that you can give us that nature as our nourishment all the way so that we can become so united to you that that union will pass into an eternal communion of the Holy Ones within the context of the communion of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We would have never dared ask, give us yourself, Lord, as our food. But St. John Vianney said, what we would have never dreamed request, God has in fact given us. Is any one of us really aware when we're coming here tonight that we would need that treasure and that pearl, the Lamb of God who comes for us to make it so much easier for us to leave here with that pearl within, even more joyous than the merchant or the fine? This is the real treasure of our faith. May we grasp it, and may we, like St. Margaret, Queen of Scotland, help others to see the same truth so that they might make this investment alongside of us and be in that portion of fish that will be kept in the net, pulled to the eternal shore. Praise be Jesus Christ.